You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Nina Khan, Pablo Torre, Harry Lowes Jr., Bill Barnwell. Preview Friday. Before you view, you preview. And before you preview, mute. Let's go around the horn. Harry, I miss you. There you go. Quote, Mahomes has only been here once, so he's never been here. Simple as that. Deion Dawkins. I love that quote. Let him cook. Once, never, who cares? Everybody remembers 13 seconds. That game, of course, was in Kansas City. Everyone remembers the Tony offsides game. That game also in KC. The result of that game is why this game's in Buffalo. Patrick Mahomes' first road playoff game. This is not Buffalo's first rodeo either, with varying degrees of success. Digging out of a hole, something they hope is only a pregame stadium thing for their fans for $20 an hour. Rita Kimes around the horn to you. Which QB would you rather have Sunday? Mahomes and his history, or Allen and his weapons and his home field?
This is so tricky. It's tricky because there's a lot of reasons to pick Josh Allen. You mentioned the weapons, obviously, stand in stark contrast to Kansas City Chiefs' motley crew of receivers. It's not just Stephon Diggs. You saw Khalil Shakir go off in the last round. The last time these teams played, James Cook, as both a runner and a pass catcher, was extraordinarily effective. And one of the things I love about Josh Allen in the postseason, I like in this game, is who he is as a runner. His yards after contact per carry double in the playoffs. I think we will see that. However, here's the but. When you're talking about two quarterbacks who play at this level, matchups become significant. And Josh Allen faces a much more challenging matchup in the Chiefs' defense than I believe Patrick Mahomes does going up against a Bills' defense that not only was incredibly injured over the course of the season, but is incredibly injured going into this game. They will not have safety Taylor Rapp. They will not have cornerback Christian Benford. We'll see about the rest of that secondary. And I think the Chiefs have landed on something with Rashee Rice, the number one wide receiver now, that'll present problems for Buffalo.
Bill Barnwell, which QB would you rather have Sunday?
Mina said there's a lot of reasons to pick Josh Allen, and she's correct. That's why I'm picking Josh Allen. And one of those reasons is because of why and what the Chiefs defense does best with Steve Spagnuolo. Create havoc. Get those unblocked rushers at the quarterback. Second most unblocked rushers of any team in football this season, the Kansas City Chiefs defense. The problem is Josh Allen is a kaiju sent to this planet to destroy unblocked rushers. He can run past them. He can run through them. He can run away from them and deliver the ball with a sudden burst of energy. He is incredible at breaking down opposing rushes. And then when you rush him and there's no one in the open field, you know all the things Josh Allen can do. So I feel like Josh Allen is a perfect matchup for what this Chiefs defense does to stifle opposing
quarterbacks. There we go. I was wondering if it was going to be unanimous. Everybody would pick Mahomes. No, Barnwell says the QB he'd rather have Sunday is Allen. Harry Lowes Jr., same question to you.
You know, there are a few people whose football opinion, particularly in the NFL, that I respect more than Bill Barnwell's. And with that said, I am still going to disagree with you, my brother, because I am not picking against Patrick Mahomes. Until I see otherwise, that Josh Allen and this Bills team beat them in the postseason, I am going to go with number 15. That Bills secondary is banged up coming to this one. They've already announced a couple of guys being out. There might be more. And I know that this Chiefs wide receiving core has taken a lot of the criticism, which, fairly enough, they should have during the season. But Rashee Rice, again, is somebody who I have been seeing his praises all season, loving seeing how great he's doing, especially last week. And then obviously still have Travis Kelce. Hasn't been quite the same player this year, but still great. Not betting against 15. I really think that they're going to get this done. Until proven otherwise, I want to see it. I'm going to take 15 every single time.
And Pablo Torre.
I feel like Deion Dawkins should hire Bill Barnwell, by the way, to work up his takes. Part of the reason, of course, why Patrick Mahomes has not played that many times in Buffalo is because Patrick Mahomes has been hosting the Buffalo Bills. He's been hosting everybody in the AFC for time immemorial. So, just a bit of advice there. I would say, though, Tony, that this game comes down to the secondary, and I don't want to just be redundant here, but when you look at the cornerbacks, look, the weather is not going to dissuade Mahomes. We saw that last week, right? What did I learn from watching Mahomes beat the Miami Dolphins in the cold? He's not that bothered by it. Okay, so scratch that home field advantage off the list. And so you go to the secondary, and it's these guys, concussions, they're banged. They have all of these injuries. It's a mash unit. And I just don't want to have that as my solution to the best quarterback of his generation. Okay. Apologies to Buck.
So it seems like, Pablo, you've got Kansas City in this game. Harry, you didn't even wait. You made your pick already. You've got Kansas City in this game. Mina, I'm wondering, is this a defensive game? Is it high scoring? Is it turnover prone? And the path to victory, I guess, for either team.
Yeah, I think it'll be lower scoring than the infamous 13 seconds game, in part because, and this is why I'm picking Kansas City, it's why Patrick Mahomes was my answer to the first question, this Chiefs defense is awesome. They play with a level of physicality that is unparalleled by any defense outside of Baltimore, and I think they're going to be a huge part of why Kansas City plays.
And Bill Barnwell, get your pick in after the horn.
I will take the Chiefs. I love Josh Allen, just said as much. But the Chiefs are 41-1 during the Mahomes era when they hold the opposing team under 20 points. I think they can do that in this game.
Right?
In a low-scoring game, I think that favors the defense. They could favor.
All right, wait, then that's unanimous, right? We have all four picking Kansas City. Here we go. All right.
Oh, no.
Buccaneers-Lions, the most sought-after ticket of these playoffs. The get-in price is at least $455, which is looking like more than every other game combined. So the vibes in Detroit are brolic. Lions 6.5-point favorites. Other side of the field, Tampa's offense and defense swashbuckled last week. They blitz all the time, and Baker and those receivers lit up Philly's defense. Could they do the same to Detroit's? Bill, what kind of pressure should the Lions be most worried about? Being the favorites, being Bakered, or that history and local economy stimulus package that they've clearly unlocked?
It's none of those. It's the pressure on Jared Goff, because Jared Goff is a different quarterback when you get home and pressure him. Number one in the NFL this year when he is unpressured, 27th in the NFL when he is pressured. He's Brock Purdy when you don't pressure him. He's Mac Jones QBR level when you do pressure him. I think that's a major concern against a team that gets a lot of pressure, blitzes perennially at one of the highest rates in football. That's what Todd Bowles does best, is aggravate opposing quarterbacks. So I think it's a bad matchup for the Lions given
you
the Bucks defense.
So the pressure on Detroit is literally the pressure. Harry Lyles Jr., how do you see it?
It is a tough matchup from that pressure perspective because Tampa Bay's brought the third highest rate in the NFL. Got over 51% last week against the Eagles. But when these two teams played in week six, they only got to him 16% of the time. So if you're Detroit, you have played this team before. You've shown that you can get through them in such a way. And Detroit was pretty banged up in that game. I believe both Jahmyr Gibbs and C.J. Gardner-Johnson were both missing in that game. So, but look, there is still a ton of pressure on Detroit in this game, because if Lamar Jackson and the Ravens are not playing this weekend, there is not a bigger troll scenario than Detroit losing this weekend and everybody being like, oh my gosh, see, we told you, these are the same old Lions. They thought they were real. They lost, all these types of things. So, but I like Detroit.
Pablo Torre.
Yeah, I don't even know if it's that trollish to point all of that out. The Detroit Lions are the better team this season. They have the far better resume. The idea that Baker Mayfield and the Bucks can come in and upset a season that has already been celebrated as historic, rightfully, of course, 31 years, no Lions playoff victories, all true. But the idea is, Tony, you're not hanging... God, I don't want to be that guy, but we don't hang a banner because you won a round in the NFL
playoffs. You are
playoffs.
That guy, Pablo.
You don't.
You're precisely that person, but go ahead, please.
I am sorry to be the bearer of bad news, but if the Lions do lose this weekend, it will be disastrous and rightfully proclaimed as such.
I'm not worried about the reaction afterwards. So right now, talk to me, a path to victory for Detroit, path to victory for Tampa, Mina Kimes.
Well, I'll start with Detroit, and this is why I think they'll win. Bill, you're absolutely right about Jared Goff under pressure. Problem for Tampa is Jared Goff's been good against the blitz this year. Third lowest sack rate in the NFL, second highest completion percentage when he is blitzed. And he struggles against a four-man rush, but Tampa doesn't have much in the way of a four-man rush. They're 28th in pressure rate when they don't blitz. So I think they'll be fine on offense. For Tampa to pull off the upset, I think it would have to happen on the other side of the ball. This Lions defense is very good against the run. They cannot defend passes to wide receivers. The Bucs have very good wide receivers, Chris Godwin and Mike Evans. So I think they would have to come out slinging it to win. However, I still think Detroit pulls it off.
I'm a bit confused here. So the stat that Mina, you just cited, said he's good against the blitz.
The blitz.
Bill, the stat you cited said he's not good against pressure in general? Or the you lost me there, Bill.
When the pressure gets home, he is bad. When the when they blitz and he doesn't get home, he's great because he's not home and he has plenty of time to throw against weakened secondaries. But when this pressure actually does get home, that's when Jared
the pressure is coming from inside the house. All right, I'm still not sure I follow exactly what you got. I believe your stats, but I'm not sure I follow it. So, Mina, you got Detroit in this game.
They work together.
Pablo Torre, you had said it as well.
I'm going to take the Bucks, Tony. I've been emboldened to be the troll that Harry Lyles is afraid of.
Harry, you like Detroit in this game. You want to see them win. Are you picking them in this game?
I am going
to. And Bill Barnwell.
I will take Detroit. I think the Bucks do cover, though.
Take a break here. Buy or sell on the other side.
I agree.
What's up, kiddos? I'm Clinton Yates of Around the Horn. Whenever I go to cover games or attend events in Los Angeles, I'm always keeping my eye out for the best-dressed person in the room. I saw Diego Luna at the Andor red carpet launch event, Star Wars folks, and he looked head of state fresh. Now you can also be that person too, whether you're sitting courtside, attending a fancy dinner, or going to a wedding. With a fully custom suit from Indochino, you'll walk into wedding season looking like $1 million for way, way less. They start at just $4.99. With Indochino, you can design the suit of your dreams and fine-tune every detail, including lapels, linings, monograms, pocket flaps, etc. A tailored fit from home. Set up your measurement profile on Indochino's website and choose customizations without even leaving the house. Look your best this wedding season. At the table or on the dance floor when you wear Indochino. Go to Indochino.com today and use code HORN to get 10% off any purchase of $3.99 or more. That's Indochino.com, promo code HORN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
We talked about pressure before in regards to Detroit. Does anybody have more pressure on him this weekend than Lamar Jackson? Midweek, he said he's very, very, very extremely confident in his offense. The bye week they just had, not enough to get Mark Andrews cleared for play. He's ruled out. And the opponent are the Houston House Monies, the way they've approached this postseason, and C.J. Stroud, the dream season. What a win would do for his story this week. But Bill Barnwell, start with you. Most of the Ravens have been off a couple weeks. Sometimes you hear rest versus rust, but I want to ask you, after the most dominating back end of the season you could possibly have, is your expectation they pick up right where they left off after the week off?
I'm a little concerned because they've shown signs of being rusty without having a week off in their losses this season. They have two different losses this year where they fumbled four times in each of those games. They had the fourth highest drop rate in football all season, even given that they weren't taking a week off. Go back to Lamar Jackson's history. That first season, he was undefeated when he completed games as a starter coming in late in the year. And they had a messy loss to the Chargers that year in the postseason. I love the Ravens. I said this back in October on this very show. They are the most dangerous team in football, but they are also the most dangerous football team in football to themselves.
Says the most dangerous panelist on Around the Horn. Okay, so saying all that, you heard Lamar say he's very, very, very confident. Shouldn't he be going into this postseason, Bill?
Yeah, I mean, he's the MVP. They're playing great football. But again, they can mess themselves up. It's not about who they're playing. To me, I think they just have a nature to be kind of sloppy here.
I hear what
good,
you're saying, Harry.
They have to overcome themselves.
I think you would agree. Lamar has the most pressure on him this postseason. So how do you expect him to handle it?
Yeah. I think he'll handle it well. I mean, if you saw a lot of his quotes coming into this week, he seems like he understands the moment. Like, it's part of the reason why he's confident. He understands this. There's the reason for all of the pressure on him. I think one of the things that I am more confident in terms of them being able to shake off that rust is the fact that they really utilize play action. They used it the seventh most in the NFL over the course of the regular season. They were also seventh best in completion percentage and yards per attempt when using the play action. And Houston was fifth worst in both of those categories as well in defending it. So this really is set up well for Lamar to have a really good weekend, but that is also, again, the reason why there is so much pressure, because this is tailor-made for him to succeed.
Pablo Torre, your thoughts on Lamar and the Ravens heading into this postseason?
But listening to Lamar this week also, I noticed him feeling a bit bold. And he says that because I think he's looking at C.J. Stroud and he's wondering, okay, here's a new kid. I'm 27. He said basically that his window to win is right now. And on the other side of things, Tony, C.J. Stroud is just having the greatest rookie season we've ever seen in NFL history.
And you've been saying that for a couple weeks. And with a win in the postseason, it becomes even more. I hear what you're saying. But back on Lamar, Pablo, you would have to agree this is his best chance at a Super Bowl right now. The way it's set up, the way the team is built.
Absolutely. The issue, of course, is 7 turnovers and a 1-3 record in the postseason for Lamar Jackson. Why that keeps on happening is a question that is actively being demanded answers to. I think it's right to demand those answers.
And Mina, do you feel he's got pressure this weekend that he can surmount and overcome?
Yeah, let me kind of address what Pablo alluded to, which is the playoff record. I think why it's happening and what's different now is why I'm so confident in these Baltimore Ravens. Previous iterations, even the 2019 version where Lamar wrecked the league, he was MVP. You could solve that offense by selling out to stop the run, which is what the Titans did in the playoffs that year, selling out to stop throws to the middle of the field. But this version of the Ravens, with their more diverse passing attack, all those options, can attack you in different ways. Lamar's been excellent throwing outside the numbers this year. So I think they've got a much better shot in the postseason than they did in the past.
You should be confident. Sounds like you got Baltimore. You don't think there's any chance the Texans can continue? Pablo, any chance C.J. Stroud could work the magic?
I'm riding C.J. Stroud until proven otherwise.
You've got Houston. There it is. Harry Lyles Jr.
Baltimore.
Bill Barnwell.
Baltimore, but I think it's going to be closer than people think.
It sounded like that from the way you just described the pressure they're under and the Jekyll and Hyde nature of the number one seed in the NFL playoffs. We'll move on. Niners, Packers, everything you said about Baltimore, about expectation and pressure and rest, should be true for San Francisco, right? And Brock Purdy, last playoffs, all the injuries, they were shelved who they were in the game against Philadelphia. So how they exercise those demons. And from Green Bay's perspective, I'm wondering if the approach they had versus Dallas could be the blueprint to beat San Francisco this weekend. Harry, you think Love and the Packers can keep doing what they've been doing? And will that be enough to beat San Francisco?
I certainly think that they can. I mean, since week 10, Jordan Love has the best QBR in all the NFL. We know the numbers now, 21 touchdowns, 1 interception since week 11. And this team, he really finds who is open. They haven't had the same leading receiver week to week since week 3 and 4 with Romeo Doubs. And obviously him and Jaden Reed are leading that team in targets. But again, he's always going to find the open man. And then the key to me with this Green Bay team, too, has been Aaron Jones. Last 4 weeks, 20 carries per game, 110 yards. If he's able to do that and help alleviate some of that pass rush, I think that they could keep this thing rolling.
You like Green Bay. You think they can keep it going, Bill. This happens every year. Somebody falls in love with a team the first weekend, and they take on the team that had the bye. Green Bay versus San Fran.
Yeah, the formula can work. We saw against the Cowboys, but that works against any team. The Packers threw the ball early to get ahead, made the Cowboys one-dimensional, got a couple interceptions of Dak Prescott, and rode that to victory. When you see when Brock Purdy has struggled this year, it has been in those exact situations, playing from behind and turning the ball over. In his 12 wins, just 2 interceptions for Brock Purdy, but in his 4 losses, 9 picks, including, I think, 5 against the Ravens in that blowout game on Christmas. So the Niners, absolutely. To me, I think they have to get ahead early and play from ahead.
Any comps?
I don't think it'll be an exact replica of the formula. Something has gone horribly wrong if Luke Musgrave is that open off of Leak down the sideline again. But I do think Green Bay can run the ball in San Francisco, which is a much better pass defense than run defense. They've been below average, actually near the bottom of the NFL, in success rate. They play with a lot of light boxes, and Aaron Jones this season has absolutely shredded light boxes, averaging more than 7 yards per carry against them over the last month. This is the way for Green Bay. Run the ball, then build a passing game off of that.
Pablo Torre.
Yeah, it's clear the 49ers' defensive weakness is against the run, but give me the 49ers in this game. If I can be the one panelist to express optimism around this team, the best in the NFC, allow me to be that, Tony. I'll take Brock Purdy and his weapons over Jordan Love and the Captain America Seahawks.
Harry's got Green Bay. Bill Barnwell, I asked you a question specific to Green Bay, but from San Francisco's perspective, a way to victory here?
Run the ball. Packers, weak run defense, weak over the middle of the field in terms of the receiving game. Attack the linebackers, attack the safeties. Do what the Cowboys should have done last week. That'll get the Niners to victory.
And Mina Kimes?
I agree. I've got the Niners.
Those will be the last words. The success rate for Torrey and Lyles is what we were looking for today. That's our showdown next.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
When is a hole-in-one only a birdie? Here is when a hole-in-one is only a birdie. A shot into the spectator's cup. Play it as a lies? No. Drink it as a lies? Yes. Boilermaker. Pablo, what do you call a shot in a cup?
Something I would have had in college without a second thought. We used to have a water cup playing beer pong. You'd, like, wash off the hair that a ping pong ball had collected. So... that less gross than a lot of things in my past, admittedly.
Mm-hmm. Harry Lyles Jr.
Yeah, can I just call this bold, the fact that you let a golf ball bounce off your chest? I don't care where it lands. The fact that you let that projectile hit you, like knowing that it's not going to feel good, is bold. I'll just leave it at
that. It's an assist, though. They played it off the backboard, giving Pablo the points. Always feared mononucleosis when it came to beer pong. We'll move on. Showdown two. Best dunk of the week. We have three nominees. Colin Sexton went through the Thunder. And Edwards went off the backboard to himself. Or, and Edwards from earlier in the week against the Pistons with the horsepower dunk. Harry, dunk of the week.
Tony, I hate having to choose between my brothers from Atlanta, but I gotta go with the young bull from Marietta, Colin Sexton. The fact that you are 6 feet tall, drive to the paint with such confidence, knowing 7'1" Chet Holmgren is right behind you, and to throw it down with such violence is absolutely the best dunk.
Thank you to Harry Lyles for making me feel like Anthony Edwards in the dunk that I'm picking, Tony. Give it to me off of the backboard. I get to do this self-assisted, apparently, in a showdown, in a FaceTime, like in a real NBA game. Yes, give me that one, easily.
Pablo Torre, today's FaceTime.
Tony, I am watching what is happening to Sports Illustrated, my former employer, a childhood artifact, an icon to so many of us, and I am filled with rage and depression. Because Sports Illustrated is not just the foremost journalism brand in the history of sports. It is also sports itself to so many of us. And so what the Arena Group and the Authentic Brands Group have done, handed this organization in all of its history, great writing, iconic covers, photography, just the way that sports was chronicled in America, and running it into the ground without any conscience, using fake writers and also laying off everybody today, is not just a nightmare, it is something that they should never get to forget, because you were handed this institution and you failed, and that is your fault. absolutely your fault.
7 1/2 hour break. Enjoy the games.